This component, Health Management Information Systems, is a theory component specific to healthcare and public health applications. The topic for the fifth unit of this component is Clinical Decision Support Systems. Unit 5 consists of two lectures, followed by an assignment. A quiz also accompanies this unit. This is Lecture 2. Lecture 2, Aspects to Clinical Decision Support Systems Use, identifies challenges and barriers in building and using clinical decision support systems, explains how legal and regulatory technologies may affect their use, and introduces the future directions for clinical decision support systems. Lecture 1, Introduction to Clinical Decision Support Systems, offered a definition of clinical decision support systems, provided some historical context surrounding these systems, described the requirements of a clinical decision support system, and discussed the relationship of clinical practice guidelines and evidence-based practice to clinical decision support systems. Lecture 2 has three objectives. By the end of this lecture, the student should be able to understand the challenges and barriers in building and using clinical decision support systems, discuss the legal and regulatory barriers in the distribution of these systems, and discuss the future directions for clinical decision support systems. As published on the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality website, the CDS-5 rights model states CDS-supported improvements and desired healthcare outcomes can be achieved by communicating the right information to the right person in the right format, through the right channel, and at the right time. The five rights model comes from Ascherhoff and is a good summary of what is needed for effective delivery. As a framework for supporting clinical decisions to improve outcomes, the CDS-5 rights model states CDS-supported improvements and desired healthcare outcomes can be achieved if communication occurs in the following manner. The right information, evidence-based, suitable to guide action, pertinent to the circumstances. To the right person, considering all the members of the care team, including clinicians, patients, and their caretakers. In the right CDS intervention format, such as an alert, order set, or reference information to answer a clinical question. Through the right channel, for example, a clinical information system, such as an electronic medical record, personal health record, or more general channels such as the internet or a mobile device. At the right time and workflow, for example, at the time of decision, action, or need. However, achieving the five rights for CDS is challenging. The report, Clinical Decision Support Systems State of the Art, explains achieving the five rights for CDS presents challenges, and the challenges differ depending upon how closely the CDS is tied to what the clinician already intends to do. Clinicians may initially want certain reminders or, after performance assessments, agree that they need other reminders, but in either situation they are choosing to receive the reminders. The key issue in reminding the user about things they choose to be reminded about is the timing of the reminder. For instance, should reminders for preventive care be given to the physician in advance of the patient visit, for example the day before, or should the reminders appear during the patient's visit? Clinical decision support systems offer so much potential to improve patient care and outcome. Similar challenges in designing and selecting clinical decision support systems to the five rights model are posed as questions in the report Clinical Decision Support Systems State of the Art. The questions listed are, whose decisions are being supported? What information is presented? When is it presented? And how is it presented to the user? Each one of these questions should be explored and answered before building or selecting a clinical decision support system. If any are ignored, the chances that the end users will use it and the expected system benefits gained are limited. For example, consider the question, when the intervention will be presented. Depending on the information, the best time to deliver could be at the point of care, for example, delivering an alert about drug-drug interactions at the time of prescribing. Other information, such as providing the names of patients being seen on a given day who need immunizations, could occur prior to the patient encounter. Knowing when the information from the CDS should be presented automatically or on demand, that is, when the user chooses to access the information, is no small feat and ties to the answers to the other questions. For example, whose decisions are being supported? Looking further at the challenges of knowing when the information from the CDS should be presented, that is, automatically or on demand, another factor that must be considered and presents its own set of challenges is deciding how much control the user has over the decision to use clinical decision support. In other words, control over whether users are required to accept the CDS suggestion, whether they can easily ignore it, or whether it takes significant effort to override the advice. The report, Clinical Decision Support System, State of the Art, explains, these decisions involve not only whether the CDS is set up to be displayed or on demand, so that the users have full control over whether they choose to access it, but also the circumstances under which users can, after viewing the CDS information, choose whether to accept it. The two aspects of control are related, and they connect with how closely the CDS advice matches a clinician's intention. CDS may be designed to 1. Remind clinicians of things they intend to do but should not have to remember, 2. Provide information when clinicians are unsure what to do, 3. Correct errors clinicians have made, or 4. Recommend that the clinicians change their plans. Conceived in this way, it should be obvious that the user's reactions to CDS may differ with these diverse intents. Building on the challenges already described, the table from the Clinical Decision Support System State of the Art summarizes 3 clinical decision support intents, matches each to a user's intention along with a key issue. The first CDS intent is an automatic intervention, a reminder of actions a user intends to do but should not have to remember. As one would expect, timing is a key issue. Next is CDS intent is an on-demand intervention, one that provides information when a user is unsure of what to do or a request for consultation. In this instance, it is speed and ease of access that the user is looking for. As the report states, users may recognize the need for information but may be willing to access it only if they can do so efficiently. If access is too difficult or time-consuming, potential users may choose not to use the CDS. The third intervention's intent, to correct users' errors and/or recommend a user change plans, could be either an automatic or on-demand intervention. For an automatic intervention, the key issues are timing, autonomy, and user control over the response. For an on-demand intervention, they are speed, ease of access, autonomy, and user control over the response. For this CDS intent, users balance the change planned with the desire for autonomy with other demands such as improving patient safety or decreasing practice costs. Another key issue related to autonomy that was previously discussed is the amount of control users have over how they respond to the CDS. The report, Clinical Decision Support System State of the Art, goes on to explain, while some of these issues have been addressed by research, there are no universally accepted guidelines regarding them, in part because clinicians often differ in their preferences. In addition, there are varying clinical approaches that are justified, which makes designing effective CDS a challenge. How these issues are addressed will influence the ultimate impact and effectiveness of CDS. The report Clinical Decision Support System State of the Art cited several studies and provided insight into other challenges in the building and using of clinical decision support systems. Discussions were split between the impact on care process and patient health outcomes and the impact on structure. For the first one, impact on care process and patient health outcomes, the 3 challenges identified were 1. Matching of clinical decision support to user interventions, 2. User control, disruptiveness, and risk, 3. Integration of CDS into work processes. Each one of these presents issues which need to be addressed when building clinical decision support systems. For example, according to the report, integrating CDS into the workflow often requires unique customization to local processes and sometimes to changes in processes when previous clinical processes were found to be efficient or ineffective, for example. CDS also needs to be minimally disruptive to the clinician's cognitive workflow, and this too can be a challenge. For instance, assessing the data needed for CDS can be disruptive if the clinical systems are not well integrated or if the necessary data are not in a form that CDS can use. If the lack of the data leads to inappropriate alerts, these alerts may be overridden. In addition to the extent that using CDS or following its advice is disruptive to the clinician's work or thought processes, the CDS is likely to be ignored. Another group of discussion points address studies on the structural impact of CDS. The conclusion was, it is important to recognize that the development, implementation, and maintenance of CDS will have an impact on the structure or work system in which it will be used. The changes that the CDS will introduce need to be incorporated into the planning so that the impact on the clinician time is not excessive. Described in Chapter 20 of Biomedical Informatics are six barriers to the effective implementation of CDS. The first three identified by Musin, Shahar, and Shortliff are acquisition and validation of patient data. The issues here are the need to have 1. Effective techniques for capturing data accurately, completely, and efficiently, and 2. A standardized way to express clinical situations that a computer can interpret. Modeling of medical knowledge. Described by Musin, Shahar, and Shortliff as deciding what clinical distinctions and patient data are relevant, identifying the concepts and relationships among concepts that bear on the decision-making task, and ascertaining a problem-solving strategy that can use the relevant clinical knowledge to reach appropriate conclusions. Elicitation of medical knowledge. Keeping the knowledge base up to date is portrayed by Musin, Shahar, and Shortliff as an important problem for CDSS. The last three barriers to the effective implementation of CDS are representation of and reasoning about medical knowledge. Musin, Shahar, and Shortliff stated, among the ongoing research challenges is the need to refine the computational techniques for encoding the wide range of knowledge used in problem solving by experts. Another part to this mentioned in Chapter 20 of Biomedical Informatics is the need to obtain an understanding of the psychology of human problem solving for use in the development of clinical decision support tools that more closely simulate the process by which expert clinicians move from observations to diagnoses or management plans. Validation of system performance. Here, Musin, Shahar, and Shortliff pointed out issues of having a responsible party for validating the clinical knowledge basis and the challenges in determining how best to evaluate the performance of the tools that use the knowledge, particularly when a gold standard in which to perform the evaluation doesn't exist. Integration of decision support tools. Recognizing integration challenges exist and are inherently tied to issues of networking and systems interfaces, Musin, Shahar, and Shortliff state the need for more innovative research on how best to tie knowledge-based computer tools to programs designed to store, manipulate, and retrieve patient-specific information. One legal barrier to the implementation of clinical decision support systems is the lack of detailed case laws on issues for dealing with clinical decision support systems and which category of law these systems will fall. Chapter 20 of Biomedical Informatics contains the following explanation regarding this barrier. Under negligence law, which governs medical malpractice, a product or activity must meet reasonable expectations for safety. The principle of strict liability, on the other hand, states the product must not be harmful. Because of it is unrealistic to require that decision support programs make correct assessments under all circumstances, we do not apply such standards to physicians themselves. The determination of which legal principle to apply will have important implications for the dissemination and acceptance of such tools. Another legal barrier described in Chapter 20 of Biomedical Informatics is the issue of who will bear the liability. Should it be the physician or the builders of the systems? Chapter 20 delved further into this issue. Musin, Shahar, and Shortliff state, a related question is the potential liability borne by physicians who could have accessed such a program and who chose not to do so, and who made an incorrect decision when the system would have suggested the correct one. As with other medical technologies, precedents suggest that physicians will be liable in such circumstances if the use of a consultant program has been the standard of care in the community. Several guidelines have been suggested for assigning legal liability to builders of knowledge-based medical decision support systems or to the clinicians using them. There are also regulatory barriers that could affect distribution of clinical decision support systems. One, identified by Musin, Shahar, and Shortliff in Chapter 20 of Biomedical Informatics, is the validation of decision support tools before their release, and what role should the government play. Where should the government fall with regards to pre-release regulations of medical software? As cited in Chapter 20, current policy of the Food and Drug Administration in the United States indicates that such tools will not be subject to federal regulation if a trained practitioner is assessing the program's advice and making the final determination of care. However, Muzin, Shahar, and Shortliff go on to point out that programs that make decisions directly controlling the patient's treatment, such as closed-loop systems that administer insulin or that adjust intravenous infusion rates or respirator settings, are viewed as medical devices subject to FDA regulation. The other barriers identified by Muzin, Shahar, and Shortliff include data privacy and security. The following legislative and regulatory efforts needed to support widespread adoption of clinical decision support systems were identified by the AHIC CDS Workgroup recommendations in a letter to the Secretary HHS Leavitt on April 22, 2008, and summarized by HIMSS in their Clinical Decision Support Fact Sheet. Better Align Quality Measure Development. CDS development, payment policy, and evaluation efforts across various stakeholders so that system-level changes to achieve a high-performance healthcare system will be more likely to succeed. Explore options to establish or leverage a public-private entity to facilitate collaboration across many CDS development and deployment activities. Accelerate CDS development and adoption through federal government programs and collaboration. One of these recommendations has been implemented, as the next few slides will show. There are a number of projects shaping the future directions for clinical decision support systems. These include the Office of the National Coordinators Initiatives, the Institute of Medicine Studies, and the Meaningful Use Criteria Objectives and Measures. Each will be explored in the slides that follow. The Office of the National Coordinator for Health IT, or ONC, which is charged with coordinating the federal efforts regarding HIT adoption and meaningful use, has stated their commitment and facilitated a variety of initiatives to catalyze progress in CDS development and deployment in support of enhanced health and healthcare. The major activities include development of a roadmap for the National Action on Clinical Decision Support. This report recommended a series of activities to improve CDS development, implementation, and use throughout the United States. The roadmap identified three critical pillars for fully realizing the promise of CDS. 1. Making the best available clinical knowledge well organized for CDS interventions. 2. Promoting the high adoption and effective use of CDS tools. And 3. Continuously improving knowledge and CDS methods. The CDS recommendations focused on improving healthcare quality through the effective use of CDS, facilitating collaboration across CDS initiatives, and accelerating CDS development adoption through federal government programs and collaborations. The ONC-sponsored Clinical Decision Support Workshop brought together a large group of subject matter experts who shared their thoughts on a series of topics related to advancing the utility, usability, and meaningful use of CDS. The CDS Federal Collaboratory focuses on CDS as a healthcare information technology component for improving the quality, safety, efficiency, and effectiveness of healthcare. Encompassing a wide range of federal professionals, the CDS Federal Collaboratory serves as a forum for sharing CDS-related interests, perspectives, and priorities. The Collaboratory also strives to foster communication about and collaboration between CDS-related activities across many different agencies. The ONC for Health IT funded the Advancing CDS project to accelerate the successful implementation and effective use of CDS interventions. The project is designed to advance the widespread dissemination of successful CDS implementation practices to promote broad CDS adoption, improve the acceptance and usability of medication CDS systems through the development of clinically important drug-drug interaction list, advance the practical sharing of effective CDS interventions across care settings, and identify CDS-related gaps and goals specific to a broad range of clinical specialties. The final ONC initiative is the Institute of Medicine study to be carried out under a grant awarded in September 2010. The next slide will provide more information on this upcoming contract. The Institute of Medicine has for many years published key bodies of work. A Health and Human Services press release on September 29, 2010, contained the following quote: "Since 1999, when the IOM published its groundbreaking study, To Err Is Human, the Institute has been a leader in the movement to improve patient safety. said David Blumenthal, National Coordinator for Health Information Technology. In the 1999 report, the IOM emphasized that to improve safety, health IT systems should be designed to make it easy to do the right thing. The study, launched in 2010, is aimed at ensuring that health information technology will receive its full potential by improving patient safety in healthcare, will examine a comprehensive range of patient safety-related issues, including prevention of HIT-related errors and rapid reporting of any HIT-related patient safety issues. It will make recommendations concerning the potential effects of government policies and private sector actions in maximizing patient safety and avoiding medical errors through HIT. The final endeavor having an impact on future directions for CDSS is the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, or ARRA, and the Associated Health Information Technology for Economic and Clinical Health Provisions. ARRA, officially Public Law 111-5, signed into law on February 2009, provides many different stimulus opportunities, one of which is the $19.2 billion for health IT. The Health Information Technology for Economic and Clinical Health, often referred to as HITECH, is a provision of the ARRA. The HITECH section of ARRA deals with many of the health information communication and technology provisions. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services EHR Incentive Program website provides the following with regards to HITECH and the meaningful use of interoperable health information technology in qualified EHRs. The Health Information Technology for Economic and Clinical Health Act, or HITECH Act, established programs under Medicare and Medicaid to provide incentive payments for the meaningful use of certified EHR technology. The Medicare and Medicaid EHR incentive programs will provide incentive payments to eligible professionals and eligible hospitals as they adopt, implement, upgrade, or demonstrate meaningful use for certified EHR technology. The program begins in 2011. These incentive programs are designed to support providers in the period of health IT transition and instill the use of EHRs in meaningful ways to help our nation to improve the quality, safety, and efficiency of patient health care. On July 13, 2010, two regulations were released, one which defines the meaningful use objectives that providers must meet to qualify bonus payments, and the other which identifies the technical capabilities required for certified EHR technology. The Secretary of HHS published in the Federal Register a final rule that adopted standards, implementation specifications, and certification criteria for HIT. The final rule was released in conjunction with the Medicare and Medicaid EHR Incentive Program's final rule. The CMS regulations specify the objectives that providers must achieve in payment years 2011 and 2012 to qualify for incentive payments. The ONC regulations specify the technical capabilities that EHR technology must be certified and to support providers in achieving meaningful use objectives. Contained in the rule was the following meaningful use requirement that must be met to qualify for incentive payments. For eligible professionals, implement one clinical decision support rule relevant to specialty or high clinical priority along with the ability to track compliance. And for hospital, implement one clinical decision support rule related to a high priority hospital condition along with the ability to track compliance with that rule. While there are challenges and barriers, including legal and regulatory ones, in the building, use, and distribution of clinical decision support systems, their benefits are seen as worth the work involved. Specific benefits identified on ONC's website include increased quality of care and enhanced health outcomes, avoidance of errors and adverse events, and improved efficiency, cost-benefit, and provider and patient satisfaction. To move forward requires further effort in a number of projects shaping the future directions for clinical decision support systems have taken place in the last few years, and more initiatives are ramping up. These include ONC initiatives, IOM studies, and the meaningful use requirements tied to clinical decision support. Lecture 2 is now finished, and as a result, Unit 5 of Health Management Information Systems is now completed as well.